Hello, everyone.
It's the day we're going to talk about leveling up some, how do we take that assessment that you've been working on this month and how do we execute our level ups, what level ups really are. I just kind of want to do a little more work on leveling up since it's probably one of the biggest questions next to how do I stop it enough? I think the number one question, no BS, is how do you stop it enough? And the number two question is, I don't get level ups, I don't know how to use them in a way that work for me. So today we're just going to talk about that. And then I'm going to bring up Coach Lisa. She will be in the Q&A. So if you have questions, please feel free to put them over there. And let me grab my notes. So I want to say one thing about the assessment. So we are working on, there are two things. We have the habit tracker, and we have our deep dive assessment. Its goal is to kind of like help you either avoid stalls and plateaus, or the goal of it is to make sure that you're really looking into all of the things that could be causing a stall or plateau on the scale. If you are experiencing one, please make sure you take the stall class. We have a whole class, workshop, everything on like how to get off a stall. But I want to say this because this comes up a lot when it comes to stalls, which is there is an actual physical stall that's very normal, or a plateau that your body is going to go through as it goes through homeostasis as you're losing weight. It is almost impossible. I rarely see anyone who loses weight just like that. It's usually like this. It's a little up, a little down, a little up, a little down, but it's trending down. So for a lot of you who have a lot of scale drama, let me just say this. Number one, please download the app called Happy Scale. Corinne gets no kickbacks from this. It's just a free fucking app. I don't know why they even have it. I don't think it costs anything. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong in the chat. I downloaded it like forever ago, but it's a really good app because it will show you your trends. So it's called the Happy Scale app. The other thing I think you need to know is like when you take the Stalls and Plateaus course and when you take the Conquering the Scale course, I talk about this all the time, which is there is a difference between a stall or plateau caused by your inconsistency, your behaviors, and what's actually happening. Then there's a stall or plateau or a slight bump in the scale that's physiological. It is hormonal. It could be stress-related, not because you're stress eating. There's a difference between stress eating, but I commonly see people go, like if you're having a rough go of it at life, let's say you're working late, your kids are in travel ball, you're go, 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 go. Maybe you got a kitchen remodel going on at the same time and your stress level is out of the window of what it normally is. But you, my friend, are eating on plan. You are doing just fine. Like you're still making, like you're making your plan. You're stopping at enough. You're waiting for hunger. You're drinking your water. You're still getting sleep. And you hit a stall for 2 to 3 weeks. That is simply because your body right now has more cortisol coursing through its veins than it's used to, like its tolerable window amount of cortisol. And so when that happens, your body prioritizes getting you through the stressful period. It does not prioritize your fat loss. So even if you're doing all of the things, that does not mean that you are somehow failing. It just means your body is doing what it's like primarily designed to do, keep you alive. And during extremely stressful events, it is going to set aside fat loss for a little bit, usually for 2 to 3 weeks. And then after 2 to 3 weeks, if it thinks that's the new normal level of stress, then it feels free to release some of the water, because what cortisol does in order for it to operate in your body, it also causes you to gain, like to hold water. So your body deprioritizes getting rid of fat. And then it also is holding water during stressful periods in order to protect you, because you'll need the cortisol. Because if you're going to work late, you're going to need cortisol. If you're going to be a little tired while you're running Junior around at travel ball, you're going to need your cortisol. If you're in the middle of a kitchen remodel, you're going to need your cortisol when you're annoyed. You're going to need those things. So I want you to make sure that you understand that there is a difference between normal physiological stalls and plateaus. They usually last anywhere from about 2 to 3 weeks. I had one that lasted over 6 weeks when I was losing weight. Corinne was not being an asshole. Corinne was not dicking around. I was doing all the things, but I was exercising more than I'd ever had in my life. So my cortisol levels spiked. I had signed up to do my first ever little sprint triathlon. You know, and Corinne went from walking and doing body pump and all this other stuff to suddenly having to learn how to bike, learn how to swim. And then I was also doing running, which I'd already been doing. And when I did that, I want you to think about this. Not only was my body asked to perform in a new way, but I had a lot of drama in my head at the time. I did not like walking into the Y every day with my swimming book laid out in a Ziploc bag, put on the edge of the pool with my goggles and my, you know, little hat, and struggling to swim up and down the thing because I didn't know how to do a proper swim. I was learning from a book. And of course, the whole time I'm doing it, not only is my body getting taxed physically, but I'm like worried what people think. I'm worried I'll never learn, worried I'm going to drown. So for a few weeks when that happened, my body was like in shock and awe, but I was doing all the things. So for those of you who are like, I've been on the stall for like 6 months, stop calling it a stall. It's not helpful. If after 6 months or 6 weeks, you're bouncing around and dicking around with 5 pounds, tell yourself, this is not a stall. This is an opportunity to figure out, oh, there's probably some eating going on that I don't want to let go of. Maybe you've been able to keep snacks in as a safety because you're terrified you might get too hungry for dinner, but your ass ain't trying it. Maybe you are honestly not always waiting for hunger. Most of the time, but not all the time, because sometimes you're a little worried about waiting for hunger. That's an emotional issue. Maybe you've run up on your, like, yeah, your enough is enough to maintain. We got to eat a little less. But you're worried that you'll have to eat so little when you get to goal that you ain't doing dick now about it. That's an emotional issue. So a lot of you are on stalls and plateaus that have nothing to do with your body. They have nothing to do with anything other than I need to get honest and quit calling it a stall or plateau, because every time you do, you get frustrated. You feel defeated. You feel like nothing's working. And when you're doing that, you're really focused on what you are doing, but you're not focused on the tweaks you need to make. You're not focused on your opportunities to uncover the next level emotional eating. And a lot of times, next level emotional eating is really subtle. It's like, oh, to lose weight, if I'm going to keep eating the foods I really love, I actually have to stop it enough when it tastes so good. No more a few extra bites. No more every now and then being like, whoops, missed my enough. The smaller you get, the more in tune you have to be for the subtle emotional eats that you're doing. They're probably not going to be major fuck it eats all the time. And they're probably not going to be like big sweeping things. They are really going to be the subtle ones. It tastes so good. I need this snack. I might get hungry later. A little bit more won't hurt. Those are the things we have to work on. And I think I cover a lot of that in Basics 2.0. You can take a look there if that's what you've been struggling with. But it's really key that as we're doing this deep dive assessment to really understand, I developed it so that you can see the bounty of things that we really want to be looking at. So the assessment, and how the habit tracker work together. The habit tracker is just giving you like, here's how often you're staying on plan. Here's how often you're doing enough. Like it gives you the overview of your consistency. The deep dive assessment shows you, like when you look at where you are at in your consistency, the deep dive assessment will show you what's keeping you from 100%. It will give you more of an outline of like, okay, this month I've got to level this up. This month is where the focus needs to be. This is the mental drama I need to work on this month. All right. So let's talk about, Vanessa says, I'm gaining and losing the same pounds, 5 pounds over and over again. Vanessa, go to the Q&A right now. And I want you to tell me why. What is it that you're not working on right now or that you're avoiding that you need to work on to get off that 5 pounds? What is like, dial in. What is my emotional block right now? This is a good question. I was actually listening to some self-development for myself this morning. Hang on, let me get comfortable. Y'all, I got my bomb sheer bloody shorts on today, so I can't stand up too much, or y'all might see a little bit more than you need to. I did right before this call, though. I was like, oh my God, I look so cute today. So I ran upstairs and I walked into Chris's office and I was like, I want to say bye-bye. And he said, why? And I said, well, I have a call at 9 and I don't end literally till 2:30 today. So I'm just back to back till 2:30. I said, I'm going to have to end one call 3 minutes early just to make sure I pee. And I said, but that's not the point of my visit. I felt like you deserve to see me today. So there you go. All right. So Vanessa put it in there. Woohoo. Here's the question from this morning. Let me see if I can find it. Hang on. It's in my journals. In one of my journals, because I only, what's between me and where success is? So like for Vanessa or any of you that are dicking around, here's what I want you to do. I want you to change the question a little bit. If you had to guess, what is between you and losing 10 pounds instead of dicking around 5 pounds? That will help your brain think about what's in the way. And I want you to figure out, like, legit, what is in the way? Still a dependency on having sweets every day is one thing. Yeah, you're not going to lose 5 pounds if you are dependent upon sweets every day. I want you to even listen to how you said it. I depend on sweets. Here's your next question. Why do you depend on sweets? Why are we not depending on Vanessa? What is going on that Vanessa can't be who she depends on to where sweets are what she depends on? And then also resisting upping my workouts because it's uncomfortable. I wouldn't up my workouts. Vanessa, that is not standing between you and 10 pounds. You know what's standing between you and 10 pounds? Like you can up your workouts all you want, but if you are dependent upon sweets, it's not going to matter. Because your brain is just going to be like, oh, like we're so dependent upon sweets. And then every time something happens, it's going to be like, well, you worked out extra. We don't need to solve for more workouts. None of you need to work out harder until you're working your fucking brain out harder. That's where we need to do our work. Okay. So let's talk about level ups. How do you figure out what your emotional block is? I really struggle with coaching with my thoughts. Deidre, right now, tell me, what is one thing that stresses me out, worries me, or overwhelms me? Just type it in the Q&A and I'll tell you exactly what your emotional block is. Y'all, this is why, if y'all are wondering why the fuck did I decide to do Think It, Ink It, Shrink It Camp, which is going to be all about figuring out how to fucking journal, this is the reason why. I have emotional blocks. I don't know how to go deep. I'm terrified of it. I just keep doing the same damn discovery worksheet over and over again. I'm dicking around with the same 5 pounds over and over again. I just keep trying to do the basics harder. Nobody needs to do the basics harder. Everybody needs to figure out what is standing between them and the basics being easy, doable, and consistent. That's the question we all need to ask. Like yesterday, I'm going to tell you what. I wrote the inner child stuff, number one. It took me 2 days to write it. I cried all the way through it. I'm using myself. I think I actually got even more in touch with little Corinne while I wrote it. I literally cried like a baby, but it's I named it Whispers from the Past, Journaling the Inner Child. We're going to have to repair that. One of the things I did learn that I just wanted to tell y'all that I learned while I was doing that, because I mean, I've taken some classes on how to do inner child work. My coach works on it with me all the time and stuff. And one thing I didn't realize is that every single human has inner child work to do. Every single one of us experiences these things called wounds. There's these five attachment wounds that we all have. And all of us have at least one, if not all five. And when we don't know these things, we go through life thinking something's wrong with us. When what's really happened is we've had some kind of emotional rupture at some point in our childhood. And that can be from little to our 20s, like our early 20s, because your rational brain, you know, the reasoning part, it doesn't actually fully form until about 25. That's why so many people, like, they look at their grown-ass children in their early 20s and they think they should be more mature, or they think they should be more thoughtful. And it's like, not really. They're still dealing with a reactive deck. So it was just fascinating work. And I literally, there was several ahas I had for myself. I was like when I went through the wound stuff, I couldn't even believe it. It was breathtaking. All right. So let's go to leveling up. And then I'm going to get back over here into some of the, stuff. Let's see. I don't know if Deidre, I'm still waiting on you. All right. Oh, that's the wrong notes. That's the, inner child work. Hang on. I don't want to do that one. Level ups. So this week we want to make sure that we are doing true 1% level ups. And this is the thing, in order for y'all to like blow through these stalls and plateaus, when you hit these kind of like emotional blocks, habitual blocks, anything like that, we have to make sure that you take some different actions. A lot of you just keep trying to do the same thing over and over again without really figuring out like, well, maybe I need to break it down even simpler. Maybe I need to make this a little bit more even doable. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today. So a 1% level up, the number one thing we all need to know is that it has to be relevant to you. It cannot be what somebody else is doing. It may be what somebody else does. You may go into the Facebook group and talk about 1% and get 1,000 good ideas and try them. And some things, some people works for you. Some stuff does not work for you. And let me tell you why. It's because your brain does not like big ass changes. Our brains literally, a lot of you know, I just got through reading All It Takes Is a Goal by John Acuff. It's his new book that releases in September. And he and I did a podcast interview that'll release in my podcast in September last week. And one of the things that we both were talking about, how we really agree, and he's done so much research and I have done so many classes on this, is that everybody has like a nervous system tolerance. And all of us, it's different depending on, you know, like depending on how we grew up, like depending on if emotions were okay in your family, or maybe they weren't okay in your family, or maybe it was uncomfortable and stuff. Just everybody just has a different emotional tolerance. And that's not a good or bad thing. Like if yours is low, it's just good to know. That means we're going to practice as an adult stretching it. Some people have a high emotional tolerance, but they don't have a lot of desire and motivation. I promise all of you that when it comes to level ups, we just want to make sure that we're not scaring the shit out of ourselves. Every level up you pick before you apply it, here's Corinne's golden rule. It should always trigger you to think, I don't think that'll be good enough. The only people that don't need to go to it won't be good enough are people like me, who my entire life has always been like for me, perfectionism was life endangering. A lot of you grew up with this desire to be perfect because of the way you were brought up. You had high demands put on you. Whatever you did was never good enough for your parents and stuff. And so as an adult, you're seeking perfection for safety because there was always a backlash or love was withheld from you. Something always happened if you weren't perfect. I did not grow up that way. The way I grew up is we can't wait to be perfect. We just have to get it done. We won't eat unless we just get busy. Like it being messy, it being sloppy was how we survived. So for me, like trying to be perfect feels life-threatening. It doesn't feel safe. It's not going to create safety. Me being like messy, me doing like, we just got to do a little bit better. We just got to do a little bit better. For me, that's affirming. That does create the safety. So when, if you are like me, where things being like just doable and stuff feels really good to you, you don't have to wait for it to feel good enough. You're going to be waiting for this thought. I think I'm ready for the challenge. This seems like the next logical step. For a lot of you who are in perfection land, it probably needs to trigger, I don't know if this is going to be good enough. This probably won't, like, this isn't the perfect way. I don't know if this is the right way. When your brain does that, knowing that you overreact on the other side of perfectionism, you're right where you need to be. So when you're doing your 1% level ups job, I want you to like get good at checking in. I want you to get good at like, okay, does it feel doable? Is it a little uncomfortable? Does it feel like it might not be good enough? Or does it feel like, I think I'm ready for the challenge? Any of that kind of languaging, any of that kind of thought and feeling is, it signals you're on the right track. A lot of you read all of that as it's not on the right track. And you have to start teaching yourself that is the feelings we're looking for. We are looking for that slight discomfort. We are looking for that little bit of like, I don't know. It should feel a little doubtful. It shouldn't fry you. So I forget which program it is. One of my coaches can tell me. I know that we're getting ready to release in October for all of you, like the rewrite of time management. Like it's like the, like how to do it. And I think it's big ass action, taking big ass action. I talk about the scared shitless zone. What most of you do is you stay in your comfort zone. And your comfort zone is where I never want to feel bad. And I also don't want to feel really good. It's like you keep yourself in neutral all the time. Like if you start feeling too good, immediately your brain goes to the shoe's fixing to drop. If you decide you're going to work on your basics, you start immediately thinking, I got to do it all. I need to have 100%. I need to get my habit tracker together. Like you go to everything. I want you in that middle zone. And the middle zone is where slight doubt, slight challenge. There's like a slight pull to thinking like, okay, it's almost like, it's not resignation. I'm trying to come up with the right word. It's almost like you can breathe a little, like it's willingness. That's the word I really am looking for. There is a willingness to do it, even if it doesn't feel 100% hard or 100% amazing. So when we do our 1%, I want you really thinking about what we're trying to do is when we are looking for those zones, what we're really trying to do is build trust with ourselves. Trust that we can push ourselves a little. Trust that small things matter. Trust that we can experiment and figure it out and keep going. Trust that if it doesn't work, we'll break it down to an even simpler step. So one of the things that I want y'all to also think about is level ups are a way to get creative about what it means to do better. So a lot of you are just like, well, I'm just going to have to eat less. I'm just going to have to do more. But you don't get super specific about how you want to change your habits. What are the exact steps? So very often when I say, all right, well, let's say we're going to get off that 5-pound plateau. Tell me what you're going to do. This is literally, somebody did this the other day. I think it was one of y'all's coaching calls. I don't know. I've been coaching a lot of people lately in Project U. So it was either y'all or one of them. And she's like in the family. She goes, well, I do the four basics. Like that. And I was like, okay. Number one, look how unenthusiastic she is. We don't even know what do the four basics means to her right now. So when you do it, when you do level ups, it should be so well described that my mother knows what you're going to do. My son would know what you're going to do. I want all of you, I taught a class on this the other day. I don't remember where I was probably in the business membership. And oh yeah, I was in my business membership. And there's this thing in business called your elevator pitch, which means that if somebody says, hey, what do you do? That when you tell them, it's so clear, they're like, wow, tell me more about that. Or they're like, wow, I know someone like that. But I mean, it's got to be butt fucking obvious. And most of the time they say like very complicated things like, well, I coach women to feel amazing so that they can pursue the things in life that people of their past once told them they couldn't. And I help them overcome limited beliefs in that area. Fucking knows what that means. Nobody knows. But if I said to you, you know what I do? I help women who are empty nesters go after their dreams that they put on hold while them babies were growing up. Somebody be like, oh, well, I know an empty nester. Like I know someone getting ready to retire out of teaching after, you know, 25 years. And she always says she wants to start a business. Somebody would know. Your level ups have to be like that. In the example that I used, and y'all type in the chat, tell me one bozo or buffoon from movies that was a dude and a complete idiot. So my example is always Ricky Bobby. If you've seen Talladega Nights, you know Ricky Bobby, kind of an idiot. Any Will Ferrell character at this point, Elf, Billy Madison, Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. What's Clark Griswold? There's one we probably all can get behind. All right. So here's what I want all of you to do. Or Clark Griswold's cousin, Cousin Eddie. Like, Clark might even be able to get it if you are hesitant. But Cousin Eddie, now he's a real shitter. All right. So everybody picture Cousin Eddie cleaning the shitter out of the RV. Just standing there happy in his underwear. Now, you're going to walk up to him while he's cleaning out the shitter and proud as a peacock. And now you need to tell him what your 1% level up is this week. If Cousin Eddie doesn't know what your 1% level up exactly is, you have not described it near enough. You have not broken it down into the simplest of terms that a buffoon could understand. And this is why we got to do it that way. Your habit brain is Cousin Eddie. Your habit brain is a complete buffoon. And if you're not really specific and you don't break it down to where it's super simple, then your habit brain is going to make up all kinds of stories about why you can't do it. Why it's so hard for you. What it actually means, like if you say, if I said, everybody tell me what doing the four basics means, I would get 1,000 different descriptions of the four basics. But if I said, every Nobius woman this week, no matter what the fuck she puts in her mouth, from a protein bar to a big ass salad to a cheeseburger, must leave 2 full bites behind and throw them in the trash so that she can get used to not finishing things, even when it feels hard, even when it feels wasteful. I'm pretty certain that Cousin Eddie would be like, I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. So if I eat a cheeseburger, I leave two bites on my plate and I throw it in the trash. Yes, sir. That is what we'd be doing. And then the only thing that has to happen is your brain, when it's time, it's not confused. It doesn't have to wonder what you should be doing. It's not going to do any of that stuff. So we bypass a fuck ton of drama. The only thing that we are left with is, I don't want to. It tastes so good. We are actually left with the very things you have to work on. The emotional side. So when it comes time, guess what you do? Oh, you leave two bites behind and your brain is kicking and screaming. It is like, oh my God, I don't want to. It tastes so good. Corinne's so unfair. This is so wasteful. What will my mother, who's been dead 27 years, do? She's probably rolling in the grave right now that I'm throwing away two bites. And, you know, Corinne, it costs like 75 cents. I'm trying to save up for my retirement. That will be your brain. You know what we now have? A list of the emotional work. We have to reconcile wasting food. We have to do, that's where we're going to do journaling. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stop journaling on bullshit confusion, wondering why. Like, I love it when y'all write in, I just don't know why I'm not leaving two bites behind. Now we're going to listen, but we are going to throw it out so that we prove to our brain, you didn't die and you didn't go broke and mama did not roll over in her grave. At the very least, we're going to do the simplest of things, because even when our brain is screaming, when we make the 1% level up small enough, we can do it anyway. We can say like, I know it sucks, but I'm just going to do it. And I'm going to write in to ask coaches because I didn't realize what a bitch my brain was. That's how we're going to lose weight. That's how we're going to level up. So they got to be simple, but they've got to be so clear. I want them Cousin Eddie clear from now on. No more generalistic, no more 400 things, no more I'm going to do the basics better. Bull fucking shit. If you were going to do the basics better, your ass would have done it the 3,000 other times you wrote that on a discovery worksheet. We got to get more detail, more simple, more clear cut. And then in the moment, here's what we're going to do. I cannot wait to see how hard this is. I can't wait to see how much discomfort my brain offers me. Because I know my brain, it ain't getting rid of none of this shit anytime soon. But I got to get over thinking that the shit it brings up is a reason to not do. I got it. Like, the real skill of weight loss is in the moment when it's hard to just say, you're not dying. I'm not dying. I'm whining. I'm blaming. I don't like it, but I'm not dying. I'm panicking. I'm anxious. I got to get, like, if you want to lose weight, get better at panicking. Get better at being anxious. Get better at not liking it. Get better at having a hissy fit. Get better at that shit. And then do it anyway. And then I think what you're going to find is that after a couple of days, it's like, well, this isn't the dramatic telenovela that my brain's making it out to be, because you'll be doing your work in your journal away from that moment. But in the moment, we got to get better at the fit. We're not making the fit go away. All of you, stop trying to make those fits go away. The fits go away when you prove over and over again they're not worth stopping over. That's it. It's just like if you have a kid and every time you go someplace and they throw a fit before leaving, unless you take their ass out, what they learn, and you just like, well, five more minutes. You keep hoping they're not going to throw a fit. Never comes. At some point, you just get an ass full of their fit and you take them out kicking and screaming. But if you let them stay over and over and over again until your ass is full, guess what happens? They just learn to throw a fit to see how long they get to stay. And that's what a lot of your brains are doing. It's like you've trained it to throw a fit over and over and over again around stopping at enough when it tastes so good by continuing to eat. And then you get mad that it keeps doing that. It's like you rewarded it every single time. Stop being mad at that part. We have to keep, we have to stop training it. Because every time you do that, it just thinks, well, I just got to turn up the volume next time. So that's why for a lot of you, when you first start your level ups and your brain goes a little bit of a fit, guess what? It's not going to go away until it's turned the volume all the way up. It would be just like with Junior. The first time you take him out of Chick-fil-A, when you're ready to go and he starts a fit, and the 3 weeks or the months before that, you let him throw, like you just kept extending the time 5 or 6 times. So he got like an extra hour of play at the playland. Well, the first time you take him out on the first time, oh, he's throwing a fit in the car all the way home and still going when your partner gets home. The second time, he's still going. He might even wake up the next day still throwing a fit. The third and fourth time, though, he starts rationing it down. And he starts normalizing that, oh, we actually leave when we say we're going to leave. We don't leave when mama gets an ass full after my 10th fit. All right. So here are some powerful questions that you can ask, because I want y'all to also consider level ups are not just about your food. I think a lot of you are getting stuck that level ups can only, like, it has to go beyond eating less and doing more. So it's about all of our habits. And that's what the assessment shows you. There are lots of habits. So here are some powerful questions that you can ask yourself when you are creating level ups. How can I be more consistent? So like if you are, let's say you look at your habit tracker and you notice, like, let's say you're 70% on stopping at enough. So you dig into your days and you notice, like, that equals about 4 days out of every week, I'm actually stopping it enough. It's probably gonna be more like 60%. 3 days of the week, I'm not. So now we're gonna say, like, well, what are the 3 days I typically don't stop it enough? Or what are the meals that I typically don't stop it enough? So we're gonna just look through our journal. This is why we wanna keep records. And then you're gonna pick one meal that's been hard for you. And so the next month, your job is to say, like, on this day or this particular meal or when this particular thing happens, this is the only, like, I'm already good at stopping it enough at the other times, but I want to put all my energy and focus on how do I conquer that one? What are things I can do? Then make a list of different things you can try for that one thing to see if you can get your enough to go from 60 to 70%. That's what I'm talking about. We want to get specific. You want to dive into some of these details. Now, I know a lot of you are probably sitting there going, like, fuck me. This seems like a lot of work. It's not a lot of work. Do you know what a lot of work is? Every day feeling hopeless that this is not happening for you. Half-assed doing things, hoping that'll work. Wondering why you can't get your shit together. Feeling dejected because you ain't got no, like, when somebody, or no, feeling confused when I ask you what's going on and you're like, I can't really tell you. I mean, I think it's this, but you don't really know. All of that, not being willing to just do a 24-hour plan, fill out your habit tracker, and then a brief assessment each day. The unwillingness to do those three steps is cock blocking you from information you need that will actually help you solve your weight loss problem for the rest of your life. You just trying to do better is not a plan. You trying to be good today, that's not a fucking plan. That's hopes and wishes. And as I always say, we do not snort hopium inside of no BS. I would not tell y'all to do these things if I didn't 100% believe in them. And I know it seems hard for some of you. And here's another reason why it's going to feel hard. Because it's like, but when I try and when I plan and I'm not perfect or I'm not doing it right, I beat myself up. Don't stop collecting data because you're a bitch to yourself. That's called doubling down on being a bitch to yourself. It's like, not only am I not going to learn how to talk to myself, but I'm also going to take away the very thing that could change my life. No double bitching. So we're going to work on just being like, well, if I'm going to collect my data and if I'm just going to be hard on myself, then I'm willing to be hard on myself until I'm willing to change that part of the story. But don't give up on the very thing that could actually help you solve not only your weight, but also solve your self-esteem. Because if you start noticing that you're a bitch to yourself, that's called good information to know. We need to change that. Maybe that's where your level ups have to come. So level ups can also be about your thoughts. If you notice when you're tracking, you're hard on yourself, how can you level up a thought? What could you tell yourself? One thing could be like, I refuse to be a bitch to myself about this. I don't have to love me. I don't have to believe in me. I don't have to do any of that stuff, but I absolutely don't have to keep tearing myself down. And when I do, I'm just going to say, I am unlearning talking to myself like this. And the first step is to notice when I'm doing it and say like, nope, we're just going to keep focused on what we're doing each day. I don't even need a better thought about me. Level ups can also be around the quality of foods. It can be about the quality of your self-care. So for some of you, like with quality of foods, like very often, my nose is just itching. When I go out to eat, I never have my salads tossed in the dressing. I just don't. I always have it on the side so that I can control how much, because I never know when I'm going to go to a restaurant where they're going to have so many delicious things on the salad. It doesn't even warrant needing dressing. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to a restaurant and there'll be like cheese and bacon and eggs and avocado. I just don't need the dressing. There's enough flavorful things in it to where I'm just like, this is actually pretty freaking good without it. Or I eat a lot of that and then I get to where it's like heavy lettuce. Then I just use the dressing for the heavy lettuce sections. But it always amazes me how people need dressing for like a Cobb salad. Like you've never ate bacon and eggs and an avocado before without dressing. It's like, eat something without it at first and just see what happens. If you want to have it, but not every, like in Mike and Corinne's world, not every damn salad warrants a dressing. Now, sometimes I go places, there's not a lot of shit on it. It needs all the dressing. But I like to know, I like to be able to control it, what I need and what I don't. So it can be about the quality, but that doesn't mean you have to take something and go from like a cheeseburger to a, you know, grilled tempeh or tofu. It's like, if you like to eat cheeseburgers, then stop getting mayonnaise. Like I used to do this. I used to leave the top bun off. I liked having some bread, but I need all the bread. And it wasn't because bread's bad, but I was just like looking at my cheeseburger. What are the things I really want to have with it? Do I need that much bread? Can I cut it up like a steak and eat it? It was not about bread being bad. It was just about like, if I want to have a cheeseburger, I don't need the whole fucking bun too. So be thinking about little ways you can level things up. You can also level up the quantity of food using a lot of the no BS strategies. They're all over the place. Check Basics 2.0. Halftime method, bites behind. We just have a lot of them. Monk meals, on the clock. It is not like smaller plates. It is not like there aren't strategies for quantity of food. You also can level up or reduce. You can either reduce or increase the frequency of some of your habits. So this past weekend, I did a lot of coaching on water and making sure that you got water up. The frequency of which you're drinking water to make sure you're not underhydrated. You can also spend more time under tension with urges and uncomfortable feelings. If you notice that, let's say you have urges at night to eat after 8 o'clock, and it's just like the second your brain is like, oh my God, I need some ice cream or something, or it's like, fuck me, there's my urge, I best go eat. And you march in there like a soldier because you think you shouldn't have urge talk, or you think the only way not to eat is, well, the only way I could eat after 8 o'clock is if all of these thoughts went away. Bull fucking shit. If I came and I said, I'm putting a gun to your head, you go into that refrigerator, Missy, I'm going to blow you away. You would not go eat. You might want to eat, but you're definitely going to change your ass too. So time under tension. Just say like, now when my urge talk starts, I do not eat for 10 minutes. I breathe. I watch some TV. I give myself permission to eat after 10 minutes if I still want it. But right now I'm just practicing pauses. I'm practicing showing myself I can spend 10 minutes with an urge and it not be the end of the world. And if you want to know about permission and pauses, go to Urges 2.0. Go to where our urges pathway is. We talk about the permission. Some of y'all need to be doing more of the pathways work rather than just sitting around listening to these damn calls all the time. And then you can break things up into stair steps. So if you are trying something and it's not, let's say you keep trying to leave 2 bites behind, and it's not working, leave one. Let's say that's not working. Get you a smaller plate. Ask somebody else in your family to make your plate and say, this is how much I'm going to want. For the next 2 weeks, I'm not making my own plate. I'd love for you to do it. And this is how much I want you to serve. Jesus, take the wheel. In this case, it's Jesus, take the ladle. So those are all different ways. All right, let's do a couple of questions. And then all of you need to be either going to Basics 2.0 or Urges 2.0. How do you figure out what your emotional block is? Deidre, you never did tell me. I really struggle with coaching my thoughts. Deidre, I still need you to tell me, come back, and I need to know, like, what are you worried about? When it comes to eating a little, like, here's always the thought. When it comes to either following your plan or when it comes to stopping at enough or waiting for hunger, all of you can do this exercise anytime you want. What am I worried about? What am I scared of? In my mind, what's the worst that could happen? Answer any of those questions. There's your emotional block right there. Whatever those sentences are, those are things you probably believe right now that are scary, because anything that causes fear, your brain will say overeating and shaming yourself and judging yourself is better than being afraid. Your brain prioritizes fear over everything else. It's like, oh, like caveman, cavewoman, who cares if they're ashamed? That's being ashamed, being down on yourself, being depressed, feeling hopeless, despair, confusion. Guess what? Those are not life-threatening. Guess what fear is? Fear convinces you of that there is a real threat to your safety and your life. And your brain will always prioritize solving fear over solving your self-image, because you can survive just fine with your self-image being in the toilet. What you can't survive, though, is your brain is saying, if something's dangerous, I don't know if it's life-threatening or not, but fear gets treated in the brain equally. If you are afraid of what other people will say, if you're afraid you can't lose weight, if you're afraid of getting hungry, or if you're afraid of the guy that just walked into the house with an axe and a ski mask, Your brain thinks they're all equal value. It always thinks your life must be in danger. So it will always try to make sure you're safe. I'm afraid of actually making it to my goal, and I am 100 pounds away. That is not, so she said, this is so stupid. That is not stupid at all. So Deidre, you already know what your emotional block is. There's something you are afraid of that will happen at 100 pounds. What is that? Please put it in the Q&A. And Deidre, I have 10 minutes. If you would like to come on camera, I never do this on this call, but if you will raise your hand, I will call on you. And if you do not feel like you want to do that, do not worry. You do not have to raise your hand. You can just type it into the Q&A, but it's not stupid. Your brain has created danger somewhere around losing 100 pounds. And we want to know what that is, because whatever that danger is, we want to face it and we want to challenge it. We want to know if it's really true. It probably feels true, but it's not true. Is separating out two bites and making them undesirable, like the spicy powder cheating on the last, I don't even know what spicy powder is, but whatever that is, making them undesirable. Like, I guess adding spicy powder, is that cheating on the last two bites? I don't think it's cheating. If you call it cheating, it is. But if you want to like, it's no different than, this is what I do. When I leave food behind, I know that if I leave it on my desk, I'm probably going to finish it in an hour. I'm going to convince myself I should eat that. Like, I'm not at enough anymore. I throw it away. You know why? I don't want the temptation. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I love the new deep dive assessment, but having trouble with level ups. How do you do level ups? So, Diane, go to the Facebook group and ask people, like, this is what our challenge to all of you this week is. Go to the Facebook group and everybody type their 1% level ups that they're trying. And then that's going to give you tons of ideas. I tell you what would be helpful for my team, if somebody will go to the Facebook group right now before they all leave and go in there and do it, create a post that just says ideas, like we're crowdsourcing all the ideas we possibly can for 1% level ups. And then y'all go find the post, hashtag it get 1% sign level up, and then go find that post. And then just add to there. And then Diane, you will get ideas. But I want you to be thinking about some. I gave you some on this call, so I want you to think about some. I'm afraid to gain the weight back. I've always gained it back. I want to get rid of that fear. So Mandy, this is super simple. You need to take the maintenance course. In the maintenance course, I address all of that. And for all of you, if your fear is that you're going to gain the weight back, going ahead and preemptively taking the maintenance course is a good idea. It's all about the identity shifts you'll need to make. It's going to outline all the things you want to be thinking about on the way down the scale. Deidre again, my weight has always been commented on in the negative way by family members. And I hate when people notice I'm losing weight. Yeah. So, and I can only imagine people constantly comment when I do lose my weight. They will. So Deidre, your emotional block isn't that people are going to comment. It's why, like, we need to get comfortable with negative comments from your family. That's where your emotional block is. The moment you can tolerate whatever they say, I am no longer giving it my energy, my effort. I'm no longer giving it my free will. I'm no longer giving it my attention. I'm no longer making it mean whatever you're making it mean about you. And I no longer choose to believe their thoughts over mine. The moment that happens, that fear dissipates. It can't exist. You might be triggered to be afraid, but then your brain will be like, but here's what I'm remembering. People always have judgments. And my goal in life is to live my life regardless of what the judgments are. Uh, I'm scared to level up too much because my brain tells me it will make me reach max effort too quickly and I won't lose weight anymore. Morgan, what the hell is max effort? Your job, like the problem isn't max effort. I have a really good relationship with max effort. You don't. So you need to define, and I would take this to ask coaches, what is max effort to you? And why would doing your max effort scare you? And then we just kind of pull it apart and we start looking at it. Sometimes max effort is leftover garbage from past diets. Like if I'm at my max effort, then, you know, like you would do all these things to make yourself suffer. And it's like, we don't teach suffering in NoBS. So it's a developing a relationship with like, I would never make myself suffer. There is my max effort that feels good. And then there's max effort that I would never do to myself ever again. And that's not even my max effort. That's just called punishment. So like untangling that. All right, Corinne's got to pee. So we're going to get out of here. If you didn't get your question answered, just take it over to Ask Coaches and they will help you there. Or you can take it to the Facebook group and they're happy to help you over there. I hope y'all enjoyed today's session on 1% level ups. I will see y'all next week. You have the fabulous Coach MJ this weekend, where I am sure she will regale wonderful pee-pee stories, crude jokes. She'll cuss just like me, and I'm sure there'll be sweating and swearing to boot. MJ and I think we were separated at birth somehow. All right. Talk to y'all later. Bye, y'all.